2 Timothy 2:19. And we're going through Paul's pretty intensive final days summary of how to keep this going, how to pass on the grace message, the gospel, the information, the doctrine about the mystery of Christ and the fellowship of the mystery and all these things that he had received, how to pass it on, how to propagate the gospel. So we find it concentrate, find that information concentrated in 2 Timothy. So that's what I'm trying to do, go through and point out, bring to light all the different places that he gives information that will help in propagating the doctrine that he received from Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Well, the foundation is what he's talking about here, the doctrine, the beginning of the church, the body of Christ, with the salvation of Paul, and the revelation, the doctrine that was given to him in various different areas, such as the mystery of the catching up that we just heard about to some degree, and the mystery of the I'm trying to think of the wording in Romans 11:25, the temporary blindness, what is it? Blindness in part, that Paul talks about as being a mystery that was revealed to him. The mystery of the body of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, that the gospel would eventually, you know, be sent to, well, by the time he talks about the mystery of the gospel, it's already been sent to all people. And its name was changed, but it's the same saving message that we're saved by, that he preached all through the Acts epistles, calling it the gospel of Christ in the dispensation of the gospel of Christ. So that's the foundation, and it standeth sure. So he had faith that, you know, that it was going to go on, it was going to continue until the day of Christ, and he was doing his part in helping others that would be those faithful men passing it on to others also. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And, you know, that's one assurance that we'll never be one of those that the Lord says, I never knew you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Because he does know us. He says here, the Lord knoweth those that are his. And once you've believed, you are the purchased possession. You are bought with a price. So anyway, let's go on. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we're not saved to do whatever we want, if whatever we want is defined by the fleshly attitude, what we were before we were in Christ. Let it be defined by your new man, by what the Spirit of God puts in you, brings into you. You know, if you follow the Spirit, you can do whatever you want. He leads you into godliness, not into iniquity, as it says here. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor." Verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." So, purging yourself from the vessels of honor, some to honor and some to dishonor. If you purge yourself from the dishonor, you shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That brings to mind the preparation of the gospel of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The shoes feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So prepared for every good work. In other words, you need to get into the Bible and study it to see the results in your life. In the working out of your salvation, you are saved if you're a believer that Christ died for your sins and all your sins are paid for. But to see it worked out in your life, to see a change in your behavior, your performance, your deportment, you need to study the Word, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, with them. They do it too, in other words, those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The rest of the body of Christ is like you are, imputed the righteousness of God. And you can't call on the Lord until you've believed on Him. So, 2 Timothy 2:23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. You could put in, but Facebook avoid. Well, maybe it's not quite that bad, but you need to use some discernment, some discretion. What you answer, and, or what I answer, and what you get drawn into, and how much time you spend on it. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And boy, that's, we've probably all experienced that, or seen it anyway. If you recall back in the verse on either side that sandwiches the verse on studying and right dividing, we can see in 2 Timothy 2 verses 14 and 16, strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. Strive not about words. That's a fleshly tendency. I mean, I hear myself bringing it up from time to time, something that would be a striving about words. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And included in that vain babblings, that's the third mention that Paul makes, I believe it is, about, it's not in the context here, but I think he's including what he had previously said in 1 Corinthians 14 before his all-man sending, when he was giving doctrine in a letter, an epistle, back to the Corinthians about tongues. He said, first of all, he said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. And then he says, don't forbid to speak in tongues. There's a negative connotation there. Don't forbid, you know, he's not pushing it anymore, but he's saying don't cut off people that do it. But here he's saying shun vain babblings. By the time you get after the all-man sending, when there's no more Israel, you know, tongues was a Jewish evangelism tool. It was something the Holy Spirit gave to believers that were in the proximity of the Jews, because the Jews require a sign. Without signs, you will not believe, the Lord said to them. And, you know, all through, you can find it in many places throughout the Bible, starting in first place I can recall offhand is Exodus 4, packed with information about signs for Israel to cause them to believe. And 1 Corinthians 14, 22, I think it is, 21, 22, somewhere in there, says that signs are not for those that believe, but they're for those that do not believe. It's an evangelism tool for not just anybody that doesn't believe. It's already narrowed down to the Jews require a sign. So it's for Jewish unbelievers. And here, and the, by the time he writes 2 Timothy, Israel has been cast away at the end of Acts, there in the last half chapter of Acts. So there's no more, you know, Jews. They're not going after the Jews anymore to bring them into the body of Christ as a remnant according to the election of grace. Just as a, you know, well, let me go through those two verses again, and then at the end put what's sandwiched in the middle there as a remedy. So starting with 2 Timothy 2:14, then 16, then 15. Strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in the midst of all the human logic and misunderstandings about the scripture, vain babblings from a profane mind, a fleshly mind, in the midst of all that, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's go to 2 Timothy 2:23, and we got about four verses to go before we get into today's lesson. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, they, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Repentance from not acknowledging the truth to the acknowledging of the truth. So they may be among the called that God foreknew would believe the gospel. Be gentle, be patient. But as you know, there is also the admonition, don't waste too much. You use time. Why use it wisely? When you use it, there is a way you can use it unwisely. You can go beyond what is using God's time wisely. You can actually waste God's time by, well, it says, I don't have the verse in front of me, but a heretic after the second or third, first or second, I think it is, isn't it? First or second admonition, reject. So stop messing around with people that continually just want to argue, just want to show something new that they've got that's not scripture. It's beyond scripture. It's a speculation or whatever. Don't give them any more time. It's wasting time, you know. The other, let me just think, there was one other thing involved with that that idea there. I can't think of it. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 26, last verse in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, the devil can't possess what the Lord Jesus Christ possesses. He bought us with a price, and we've accepted the terms. We've trusted that he died for our sins, that he paid everything necessary to take us to heaven, whatever we do or don't do from then on. So we're bought by the Lord. We can't be, how does it say here, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. We can't be ensnared by the devil, taken captive by him at his will. But unbelievers can. So, you know, they're the ones that we're ministering to. We're supplying the gospel of Christ to, the gospel of the grace of God. All right, to get into today's verse list, starting at the first verse there, 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. So Paul is preparing followers for those last days that are, well, he's talking about them here, the last days of the body of Christ on earth, not the last days of Israel that Peter talked about in Acts 2 at that Pentecost feast. It's a different last times. It's different. It's last times of a different group of people that have a differing time period. In other words, Israel's last times, the last times of that 70 weeks of Daniel, Acts 2:16, Peter said, this is it. This is that. That prophecy that Daniel prophesied about the last days, this is them. Well, the Lord was gracious, merciful, and gave them a year, an acceptable year of the Lord. And they blew it then, too, on, you know, apparently on exactly a year later, because there are people gathered there in Jerusalem, and Stephen preached that Acts 7 sermon, at the end of which they stoned him, rejecting and speaking against and blaspheming the very words coming out of his mouth, being filled with the Holy Ghost. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Christ had already told them that would be the thing that would be unforgivable. Not putting him on a cross, that could be forgiven, he said. And he came and offered the kingdom after they had rejected God the Father all those years through the prophets, stoning the prophets, whatever. So, Paul is intending for the body of Christ to grow and to extend God's offer of salvation. And all of this is part of that. Go to verse 2, 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Perilous times shall come. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. How can someone that's been imputed the very righteousness of God be unholy? Well, if holy means set apart unto God, separated unto God, and that would be our new man following after the new man, we're told to put off the old man in our daily activities. We are in the Spirit, but are we walking after the Spirit? That's the point. They're divided. They're not single in heart. They're not set apart. They're unholy. They're believers walking after the lusts of the flesh. In the last times, there, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That implies that they're not good. So in that case, they would not have the righteousness of God imputed to them. He's talking about a whole array of people here now. Traitors, heady, this is verse 4, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, you know, if you, even just comparing the way things were 50 years ago, or 60 or 70, compared to now, you can tell that people are more lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. Just on that worldly comparison of the world the way it was years ago. And even back then, it was not particularly godly. Comparing God's will with the way things are today, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power of God unto salvation? What is the power of God unto salvation? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we have that presented to us now too. Denying the power thereof. From such people, turn away. Turn away. We're supposed to let our speech be seasoned with grace, or be always with grace, seasoned with salt. But there are times that we have to turn away from people. They've heard it enough, rejected it enough. Put in your time with somebody else. It's a sad thing. So, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Now, he's not saying that they all creep into houses. He's saying of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women. And he's not calling these people silly women. He's saying they creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins. And who's laden with sins? Who's without sin? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:19, 20, and 21. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So there's something more besides not having their trespasses imputed unto them that needs to be reconciled. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or instead of Christ, in Christ's place, we pray you, be ye reconciled to God. So it depends on the hearer to finish that reconciliation. For he hath made him to be sin for us. I'm talking about Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Silly women laden with sins would not be those that are made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Timothy 3:6, for of this sort are they, just continuing on, are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Not that they like to dive into the ocean or anything, but diverse meaning like various or diverse. Divers meaning, that's the meaning of it, diverse, various lusts, illicit desires, unlawful, unhealthy desires. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we don't want to be that way. We want to learn, open ourselves to the wisdom and knowledge of God. We don't want to just get earthly knowledge, human knowledge. I mean, you can read 1 Corinthians. I'm trying to think. The first chapter, partway through. hold on. 17, I think, starting at about 17, maybe a little before that even, verse 17 in 1 Corinthians 1. The wisdom and knowledge and earthly wisdom are dissected. They're kind of described, differences between them. Some is foolishness, but you can read about that there. But ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, they're not coming to the goodness of God. And I am the truth, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Knowledge of God. This is, I'm trying to think of John 17:17. John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That they come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corruption. They're putting themselves in the same place as that crowd of Jews in Acts 7 that stoned Stephen. They rejected God. Spoke against God. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's a good word, reprobate. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as also as theirs also was, Jannes and Jambres. And then it was likening them to 2 Timothy 3:10. Did I say 2 before? We're in 3. But thou, Paul talking to Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine. In other words, what he received from the Lord and taught to Timothy, or the doctrine, the teaching, Timothy by now knows it fully. My doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, and my patience. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Here he is at the end of his life. Next to the last chapter he writes, and he's still recalling that stoning back in Acts 14 in Antioch of Pisidia, or out just outside of it. I think they came, didn't they come from Iconium down there to stone him? What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, does that bring something to mind? The Lord delivered me? It's not in the verse list, but let's look at Acts 26. Could you pull that up, Nathaniel? Acts 26, I'm looking here. Hold on just a minute. It's about 20, about 18, 16. Acts 26, verse 16 and 17. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here's why. To make thee, Paul, a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in the which I will appear unto thee. There's that abundance of revelations that he talks about in 2 Corinthians 12. I will appear unto thee, doing what? Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Delivering thee from the people and delivering thee from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So to what Gentiles was he then sending Paul? At, you know, at this, what he's talking about here is his Acts 9 salvation experience. Jesus Christ says he's delivering thee from the Gentiles. The people, yes, too. And the Gentiles. What Gentiles is that? It doesn't say from all the Gentiles. It's from those Gentiles there in Antioch of Pisidia and that came down from Iconium that stoned him. He was raised back to life. He was delivered. Paul was to go to those Gentiles and to those Jews that had not heard that Christ believed, that Christ had not heard and believed that Christ died for their sins, that Christ was even alive, that he was even the person that they heard of as Jesus the fraud, probably. You know, I mean, they didn't believe he was Jesus Christ. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. He was sent to those Gentiles there in the synagogues and to those Jews in the synagogue. So, let's go on. I'll find where I dropped off here. Let's see, verse 12. Let me read at least 11 and 12 together. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, and yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Count on it. Paul even said we rejoice in persecution, didn't he? Rejoice in infirmities or tribulations, something like that, because it's God working in us and through us. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, they're not going to listen. They're deceived. They're deceiving others. You tell them the truth, after the first, you know, with a heretic like that, that's teaching falsity, after the first or second admonition, reject. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Where did he learn them? And hast been assured of. Where was he assured of it? Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy learned them from Paul. We need to learn them from Paul in Paul's epistles. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's a key. Children need to be taught the Holy Scriptures while they're children. Not about the Scriptures, not stories about the Bible or about Samson or, you know, these stories that you can get a storybook Bible or whatever. They need to hear the Scriptures. By the time they get old enough to learn to read and to go to school, they need to be quite familiar with the wording of the verses that are God's Word. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto the salvation, unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So before they hear of Christ Jesus, before they hear of salvation by grace through faith, they need to be in the Scriptures so that they will be made wise unto salvation, so that when they hear the gospel of Christ, they can receive it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given, and that's a fact, it is given, all Scripture is given. Colossians 1:25 says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He filled it up, Paul did. No more writing of the Scriptures after Paul. All Scripture is given. It's given by inspiration of God. Look at Genesis 2:7. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that breathing, that's inspiring. That's breathing into. You know, you talk about he expired, expiration, the last breath of something. Breathing into someone is inspiration. And he breathed into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Look at Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes. Where does it come from? Faith comes. Does it come only as a gift of God? Does it come only to those that God chose to take to heaven? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want somebody to believe, they need to hear the word of God. Or as Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 4, they need to read it. They can read it and believe it. 1 Corinthians 14:37, if a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, that's what we need to use to propagate the gospel, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All Scripture. Yes. Acts is not excluded from being profitable for doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, when you keep it in context and rightly divide it. You need to consider which people group each part is written to and written about. Acts is profitable for doctrine. Don't abuse it, though, by failing to use it or by misapplying it. Let me read it again in connection with the next verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Everything you need, in other words. All the parts there. I use that perfect baby illustration. They call him a perfect baby. He's not grown up yet, but all the parts are there. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Unto all good works. They're ahead of you still. The goal is to perfect godly men. And this means, you know, the way to do that is to furnish the man of God through and through by the Word of God. Thoroughly furnished by the Word of God. All right, let's get into the fourth chapter. Let me just see how far we have to go here. Going to get partway through. We'll have to do the rest another time, maybe tomorrow. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God. So Paul talking to Timothy. Paul charges Timothy, gives him a charge. Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Timothy received this charge too. He says, let me just revert back a little bit here to what Paul had charged Timothy with in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, those things you heard of me, commit to faithful men. Don't slack off in committing those things to faithful men, teaching them. And he says, who shall be able to teach others also? So pass on Paul's charge to faithful men to teach others also. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ as to how we carry out our charge. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, and we'll go through verse 15 in 1 Corinthians 3, starting in 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What sort? Not how much, of what sort. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, talking about the foundation, Jesus Christ, built on that foundation in the body, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire, that the fire that burned off the... Oh, well, any man's work that shall... let's see. The works that don't survive the fire. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay, back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. You see, he's got two things there that are done at two times. Judge the quick and judge the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Believers in Paul's gospel will be judged at his appearing. Believers in the kingdom gospel will be judged at his kingdom. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. At his appearing and his kingdom. So here Paul gets into the blunt, practical directions following here, starting in verse 2, what he's passing on to Timothy. Verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word. The first thing, first of all, you know, what you're to carry on, to pass on, I charge you to preach the word. Don't be silent about it. Don't be shy. Preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season. But I don't think they were ready to receive it. I would get mocked if I said that. That's out of season. Preach the word out of season, though. Reprove, rebuke. exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Exhort with doctrine. Verse 3, for the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Go back to the beginning of verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And they go to all this, they go on further and further into ungodliness. But there's nothing in that charge that says when they don't endure sound doctrine, when they go their own way, that you're to stop preaching it. We need to keep going. Keep presenting the gospel. Keep, even if it's just saying, are you saved? And offering the opportunity, you know. So he goes on in verse 5 and he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. There are going to be afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist, that's a spreader of good news. And, you know, herald, a herald is a good word. You don't hear it much anymore, but someone that heralds the good news. Make full proof of thy ministry. Not just part of it, you know, do the whole thing. In other words, don't give up. So 2 Timothy 4 verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So no more talking about, you know, I think that it'll be better for you if I stay, so I know that I'll stay a little longer. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that he only had a little while to finish passing on to Timothy that all that would be, you know, that doctrine, everything that would be beneficial to him and to us. It comes down to us and Paul doing it for us. 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And we should look at what his course was. We'll look at that after we do the verse here. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So we can notice the parallel wording and sentence structure between that verse, 2 Timothy 4, 7, and Acts 20, 24, about Christ's sending of Paul on the ministry to all men. His all-man sending, I call it. Because he received several sendings. He was separated under the gospel of God first, and then in Acts 13 he was sent by the Holy Ghost in verses 2 and 4. He was sent to do the work of preaching the gospel to the Jew first, gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But here he's finally sent to all men with the same gospel, same message of the gospel. Different conditions on it, different conditions of distribution, I should say. Because it's to all men. That's the only difference. It's to all men instead of just to the Jews and Greeks. Jews and Jew blessers. Jews and those siding with or believing the doctrine of Israel, that God was working through Israel. So here's that verse. Let me read the other one first. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 4, 7. And then go right into Acts 20, 24. Catch the parallels there. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. No longer just the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the gospel of the grace of God. As he says 10 verses later in 2 Timothy 4, to all men, or to all Gentiles, he says. All the Gentiles, that all the Gentiles might hear. If we compare those two verses phrase by phrase, Acts 24 says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought a good fight. Acts 20:24 says, so that I might finish my course with joy. And 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have finished my course. So that I might finish my course, I have finished my course. And Acts 20:24 says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have kept the faith. To testify the gospel of the grace of God is different from to testify about the gospel of the grace of God. To testify something involves showing it, living it in front of people. To testify something is the idea of, like in Romans 8:29. Excuse me. For this is Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? To be saved? No, it says to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Us believers in Paul's gospel. And if you look in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we see the parallel between those two verses, Acts 20:24, to testify the gospel, and 2 Timothy 4:7, I have kept the faith. He goes on in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Henceforth means this being true, or if so be, you know, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. So Paul did not say, henceforth there is laid up for me the righteousness of God. No, all believers on the gospel of the grace of God already have been imputed the very righteousness of God. Here Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is given to him. Crowns have to do with ruling a domain. Crowns have to do with a dominion. Dominion, that's what Satan usurped from Adam, wasn't it? Here Paul is talking about being used in the victory of God over Satan. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but, and here's the part to remember, unto all them that love is appearing. And I believe it would be out of context to take love is appearing to mean the catching up when he appears in the clouds to those that believe. I believe Paul is talking about Christ's appearance to him on the road to Damascus and the abundance of revelations to Paul since then. That's what Paul has been talking about here, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So due to his current condition, Paul is giving instructions how to continue to propagate the gospel and to continue the growth of the body of Christ on earth. 2 Timothy 4:9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul hints that the death penalty awaits him. Come shortly. Verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And that's in opposition to having loved those in this present world. It's Demas loved the world system, the things of the world, worldliness. He loved the things of the world, and what he messed up on is not loving those in the present world, the people. You know, we're to love those in this world, but not the things of the world, in other words. So, 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens, that's a person's name, departed to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. That's like over by Yugoslavia area. So, Dalmatia is further north than it's recorded that Paul had physically traveled. It's northwest of Achaia, Greece, you know, northwest of Macedonia, just north of Greece. It's up in, you know, out of the area that he normally frequented. It's northwest of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Dalmatia is that area around where Bosnia, well, the Yugoslavian Empire, whatever you want to call it there, that took up that whole bunch of smaller nations in southern Croatia, are in that area. They were there together. That's the area he's talking about. So from this, we can see that by the end of Paul's epistle, his last epistle, Paul had begun sending fellow laborers far hence to the far-off Gentiles. Dalmatia is farther out from where Paul ministered than any other place mentioned by Paul. If Paul had been commissioned earlier to go to all men, then we would have read about, during Acts there, about Titus departing to Dalmatia. But it didn't happen until after his temple vision and the sending to all men that followed that temple vision. All right, done for now. Any questions, corrections?